Friendly, kindly disposed to the performer and the audience. But it's more than that. It's not that only that the audience has to be immune to the performer and vice versa. There's no such thing as an alienated performer in this era of free filmmaking. You can't just say, I hate my audience and I'm playing the picture, but I'm saying to something that's beyond the audience. Just really, performance happens within the context of the audience. In any case, it's not just performer-audience relationship. It's also relationship of the audience with each other. I'm not playing with words when I say that in order to communicate, you have to have meaning. I think of the actual meaning of the word communicate, which in English comes very close to this requirement number three. In other words, the very word communication implies that you can achieve meaning only if there is meaning. So, let's sum up number three. Three qualifications, I'll say in English. Number one, you have to be intellectually qualified. Number two, you have to be morally qualified. And number three, you have to be emotionally qualified. Number 4A, just to review with you, what you have on the audio level, almost, you can translate into a video level, for SEGA. And just think of the work that you've done in the medium, so to speak, and your visualization of a student at the least. Just think of the reading you've done in looking at the black figure paintings, which I hope you keep reading through on the website. Number 4B, the almost last thing of first quote will have, can have, hidden agenda. And 4C, I can almost think of our own electronic language. It can be a secret password or initiation into the mysteries. And mysteries, as we will find out when we start reading frankly, are all about getting into a special world where you can see things or hear things in a special way that you couldn't before you were initiated. And 4D, the secret password, can take the form of a song. And I hope to illustrate that later on today. Now, if I've given you my favorite example of Linus in the Iliad, I started off with that when Phoenix totally recalled the story of Meleager. How about my favorite passage of Linus in the Odyssey? And there it is in number 5, where Eumaeus, the swineherd, compliments the speech of the disguised Odysseus. And he actually spells it out. He says, that's a very good Linus, he just told me. And this is one of those situations where one of your readers is an expert in this and is just publishing a chapter in a book on this topic. This is a special form of discourse which you can't just call a lie, because the person who is saying these things, which look like lie from the surface, are simply quoting their identity in such a way that the uninitiated won't understand who they are, but the initiated will. And looks like you're saying uninitiated and initiated. This kind of this functional definition of Linus around for science number 6, where I'm saying that the Linus is one code with several messages built in, only one of which is ultimately true. Only one of which is true in the long run. And I'm thinking of English expressions like, you have an ulterior motive. I think here and now you might not understand what the motive is, but in the fullness of time, you will. In this context, what is the wonderful Greek word? This is the ancient Greek word for what we translate as Greek. You know what I'm saying? You know, Greek text passage when we're reading it in a deep way. In Greek, it's probably most of which means recognize, as well as read. Many of you, when you're taking literature courses, have come upon the cliche recognition scene. And you know, the Odyssey, especially the second half, it's called recognition scene. It's suddenly you recognize somebody that you didn't recognize before. Now, can I give you a great house about this definition of what recognition is? Look at number 8. Recognition is a change from ignorance to knowledge, tending either to perfection, the idea, or to remedy. It determines in the direction of good or ill fortune, the fate of the people involved. See, I try to paraphrase it. Every time I paraphrase it, it comes out different. I'm letting you hide it. And what Aristotle is saying is that recognition is a process. Just like getting warmer and warmer and warmer and warmer. And getting warmer and warmer and warmer is not just intellectual, it's not just mental, it's also emotional. And then because Aristotle, we have to posit the flip side, which is sometimes instead of getting warmer and warmer and warmer, you get colder and colder and colder. And suddenly you realize, my God, this person that I've been friends with for all these years is my eldest enemy. A very good movie illustration of that, not Shining, where poor Shelley Duvall discovers that her husband, you know, she thinks that he just has writer's block. Then there's a sudden horrible realization when she catches him typing over and over again, all work and no play, hates Jack and all boy. Turns out he's been typing that for 7 years. And she can stay away from her husband's work, and then she discovers that. Imagine the horror of discovering that a person you love, which is this maniac who's been typing all work and no play, hates Jack and all boy, consistently for 7 years, multiple different times. Let's get into the honesty and friendship of Odysseus. In disguise, which is what he is in the second half of the Odyssey, is actually testing everybody in his own community of Ithaca about how near and dear they are. And in a sense, depending on who you are, being the king, as we have, you either connect with him or you don't connect with him. You might say that it's not only a matter of having to recognize those exists in disguise and being faithless with them about how to be them. And I come back to this remarkable fact of ancient Greek common culture, that the notion of recognizing somebody and the notion of reading somebody is the same word. You see how important reading is and how after you're finished with this course, you never leave the same way as I hope, and you have all sorts of different ways of reading and you learn all sorts of mechanics about how to get into the depths of what you're reading. And the easiest way to describe, notice how many times we have a little love songs. And the easiest way to start understanding this is by way of the affection of love. We've seen it in the way of lament, love songs, we interweave with each other. And we see it in the second half of the book, which on one level is a love story. It's a love story. How people who've been separated from each other for 20 years have to reconstruct their relationship. Remember, you let me know that Odysseus is ascending scale of affection. He's a complex man, so it's not like ascending scale of affection. In terms of the story, he recognizes first, second, third. I love the way the Odyssey starts on the gut level, because the first one on the island recognizes the good thing. This is his dog. And the dog's nervous system is strong, the muscular system is strong. The only thing that's left is a sense of smell that you have to see. This class of smell can sometimes bring those visual memories. So I love the fact that we start simple and then get more and more and more complex. We go from the song to the mortal servant, and still on number 11, the song, the wife, and last but not least, the father. I think that's significant. And if I take you all of these characters, have to be the disguise of this day in order to recognize them. And the big ingredient is filial, the nearness and dearness, the emotion of, if you like, love. In this context, I'd like to review with you with deep regret the way I must begin 11A in Idle Nightmare. Remember, I was born east and west, and I had a scramble, I had east versus west. But it was sent back to the theater to the Odysseus himself. He says, when he's despairing of ever making it home, ever having a nosos, he despairs of his nosos, of his mental capacities, but I don't know anymore where this man passes or the sun sets. And if anybody thinks that cannibalistic night meditation of the brutality to which the heroes of Iliad can be done, I have a message about even those who have to get it from this one fault. And in this context, when we're meditating one last time about most of us, take the two of the major characters in the Odyssey, who they can tell us. He's the number one, Peggy, the most sooner, the one you most love. And his name means, and the credit that you have. And he's the one who doesn't recognize Odysseus from the very end. He is the king. And then, like us, the king of the Ancients, you know what that means in ancient Greek? It means he has the power to bring about an us. In other words, somebody who enables us. At the page of 12 and 15. And let's take one more time about how nearness and dearness is a way to understand what the process of reading is and what that emotional component, if you like, requirement number three is all about. The end people call most of that Adam woke up. Whoa. We begin number 14. This is about a marriage of Hugo. The form of a song is a gifting song, a rhythm song. And it's where it's just anybody who hears the song, they think it's a generic friend X of song. Those who are in a very special love relationship will know that it's meant only for them, only for him, only for her. And in the winter songs, especially with the sonnet of Petrarch, this art form was developed to very, very deep levels. And Mozart and his librettists that don't really pick up on that. So what I'm going to speak here is Cherubino, meaning little cherub. And Cherubino, he's a young boy. He's obviously in love with this older woman, Thomas. But then he's shy and he doesn't know how to express it. And so he composes a song for the Countess. And so because he's shy and embarrassed, everybody else thinks this is just a generic love song. Now, Cherubino knows that this is his love, nobody else. And in awkward conventions, Cherubino, the current authorized convention is a woman playing Cherubino. The woman who's playing Cherubino in the fifth novel, Troy, is one of my favorite people. She's called Maria Ewing. I'll do anything for her. And when you see her wearing this powdered wig, she looks like Mozart. But not just Mozart, the kind of baby Mozart. You know, the kind of youngish Mozart that you see in those chocolate poodle, the Mozart poodle. You know, little baby Mozart's face in the wig. So, you know what love is. In other words, I'm speaking to initials, right? My name is if I have it in my heart. That thing that I experience, to be my little detail. You know. To me, I don't know how to grasp that. You know me, full of desire. And that is here, which gave that whole moment to life another moment of pain. At three, you said, I curse the soul first and then it's learning. Is this one like that? And the next second, I turned back to music. I searched for a whisper outside of me. I don't know who told it, but have any idea what it is. I sighed and moaned without wanting to. I thought and trembled without knowing. Didn't you see Maria's face while she's saying, I sigh, I moan, drives me wild. I shouldn't be called revelatory. Don't find any peace better than tonight or day. Still gives me pleasure and anguish in this way. Yeah. You see, he loves this one, a song, a sad song, a hungry father loves. You know what they love is. Let's see Maria do it.
Thank you.
So we should have to begin to make some matters there. The experience of that frustration of going all the way back to the starting point. And he has to rebuild himself from himself. And he has to rebuild himself in terms of the community in which he is. And of course, one of the premier aspects of that community is the life of the king. In and between the reintegrate, so to speak, in society. So in the most part, this is something trivial or not. It's all important, it's everything, it's wonderful. So what I'd like to show now that is, because I've been so obsessed with sunset and sunrise, it's the most commercial thing I can talk to is got a special relationship with the action, right? You can get away. What I'm going to show you is a situation where a young woman is trying to find a perfect marriage. And she's been looking for it in the family and hasn't found it. Every man who sees it in the movie is correct. But I mean, they get sucked into it, and the casting is so good, and you can almost tell every man is going to be a real disappointment. This goes on and on. If she's been so beautiful, that patient's heading after another, is looking for the right man, can't find the right man. And then, this is a big joke because in French culture today, the business thing is that many people don't meet anymore. So, this woman is very intelligent, but she's not very well there, and she hasn't read any Jew dad, Jules Verne. But the title of the book is The Green Ray. And The Green Ray is narrated by Jules Verne about how when the sun sets in the Mediterranean, well, in the middle of this happens, it emits just as the sun sets beneath the horizon of the Green Ray. It's very hard to spot, extremely subtle. But if you spot that Green Ray, then you know that everything comes together in your life. You know that the moment is there. And in the case of this woman, she suddenly meets a young man at the very end. And I don't know what intuition this is. He looks nicer than the others. He doesn't seem like a jerk. So maybe something will happen. And you can see this is what's going on in her mind. But it's very painful for her. She's very shy. And she's going to test the young man. Okay. It's going to take 7 minutes, but it's worth every second. Watch over the dialogue.
Moi, je me défie les garçons. Non, mais je suis folle. Et de toute façon, je rencontre des mecs qui me courent après pour boire un pot, pour des conneries, pour coucher peut-être, tout ça. Et ben je les refais tout.
Et toi, tu cours jamais après les mecs, non?
Non, il y a que toi, je sais pas pourquoi. Je me suis franchie en avant. Non, à la fin, je ne regrette pas, mais je prends des livres. Je pense que c'est tout ce que ça va se passer. Ce soir, en fin de l'après-midi, à 21h, le spectacle a lieu dans tous les bars. La salle est en couvert. Ce soir,
en fin de l'après-midi, sur les Non, si tu me racontes que tous les hommes sont amoureux. Enfin, non.
Ah, j'ai jamais dit qu'ils étaient tous amoureux.
Non, au contraire.
Non, pas du tout. Ils sont pas amoureux. Moi, une cour après un jour. Et puis bon, je sais très bien que c'est pas de l'amour. Parce qu'il y a un mec, je sais très bien qu'est-ce qu'il veut prendre de toi. Et je sais quand c'est petite chose. Je sais que quand le regard qu'un homme peut avoir sur moi, je sais quand c'est petite chose. Quand il a vu une chose superficielle et qu'il voudrait que je la lui donne. Moi, je trouve ça trop petit de moi, parce que c'est rare le regard d'un homme qui soit très large sur moi et que j'ai envie, moi aussi, d'aller vers lui et de lui donner. Mais j'étais amoureuse, mais j'étais amoureuse de trois fois de ma vie. Trois fois. J'étais pas amoureuse, mais...
Non. Mais j'espère que je le ferai.
Je
ça peut venir. Quoi?
Rien. Tu diables.
Je crois pas.
Non, je crois. C'est très longtemps que j'ai pas rencontré un garçon. À la fois, c'est moi qui le veux. J'ai décidé que c'était... J'aurais plus de temps, il faut que j'avais pas vraiment quelqu'un avec qui ce serait. Toujours quand tu vas avec quelqu'un, quand tu es seul, quand tu vas avec quelqu'un une fois comme ça, à droite, à gauche, on se sent, moi je trouve qu'on se sent encore bien plus seul après. Quand tu vois, quand tu rentres le soir dans ta maison, tu es couché une fois avec un mec, tout ça, tu sais très bien que tu t'en fous, et aussi tu t'en fous. Personne ne trouve son compte là. Je trouve ça encore plus horrible que d'assumer cette solitude. Ça devient comme ça, ça devient comme une type de vie, une règle, tu vois. C'est du bon, si j'ai tout fait depuis que je suis en même temps, t'as plus de rapport du tout avec le mec. C'est flippant, mais en même temps, en toi-même, tu gardes une fierté comme ça, parce que tu perds pas le peu d'énergie que t'as, tu rêves toujours, t'attends toujours, et vaut mieux attendre quelque chose que la réalité, tu vois, gâche les espoirs. Mais je parle beaucoup, je crois que j'attends rien. Oh, j'en ai assez. Il y a un truc incroyable.
Quoi?
Je peux pas comprendre ça. Je peux pas comprendre ça. Tu veux pas aller avec moi là-bas? Je vais me coucher du soleil. Tu veux?
Je vais te demander un truc, tu bosses lundi?
Non. J'ai encore plusieurs jours de vacances.
Tu es pas sûr que c'est quelques jours près de Bayonne, là, avec moi?
Tu te fous de moi, tu plaisantes.
Je plaisante pas,
mais
non.
Si.
Bah enfin, pourquoi tu veux plaisanter?
Et pourquoi tu veux que je passe quelques jours avec toi?
Parce que j'ai envie. C'est tout. Très simple. Laisse-toi aller. Viens. C'est sympa. Tu veux pas? Et dis-moi oui.
Non, mais attends.
Ça me ferait plaisir, tu sais.
Oh. On va attendre un petit peu.
Quoi?
On va attendre tout petit peu, je te demande de la sortir.
Mais que tu vas attendre quoi? Non, c'est quoi?
Le dernier rayon du soleil couchant. J'ai vu un écran qui a l'air.
Ouais, j'ai pas lu. Porte bonheur.
C'est tout ce qu'il y a ce soir. Et on peut connaître.
À quoi? Je me disais qu'on pouvait connaître quoi. Je voudrais juste savoir. Je crois que j'ai compris. Tu pleures?
Je voudrais pas que tu pleures.
Thank you.
Yeah, you have to be sure everything comes together, et cetera.